What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins In Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder for everyone watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Hero YouTube page, like, comment, share, engage, all that good stuff. We're 1 week away from the start of training camp. Dolphins rookies reported to the practice facility Tuesday. Dolphins veterans will report next Tuesday. And I'm just as excited as I'm sure all of you are. Last week, we wrapped up our AFC East preview. We talked Jets, we talked Bills, we talked Patriots. But now that we're just a couple of days away from the start of training camp, which, you know, really signals the beginning of the NFL being back, we're going to dive into my storylines and roster projection for both sides of the ball. Today, we're going to be doing offense. Next week, we're going to be doing defense. And the offense side of the ball is obviously a unit that has garnered a lot of attention, a lot of intrigue after, a really hectic, active, busy, whatever you want to call it, offseason for the Dolphins. It obviously started with the hiring of Mike McDaniel, and then it bled into free agency offseason with, you know, acquiring Teron Armstead, Tyreek Hill, and a whole bunch of other players. So we're going to start with that today. I'm going to get into some three things that I'm watching out for when training camp starts. And number one is, you guys know it, it's Tua. It's been an off season, or I'll say a discourse for the third year quarterback has been, you know, nonstop through the off season, and frankly, it's probably been a little bit excessive, but for understandable reasons. This is a pivotal third season for the number five overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. Whatever you want to say, whatever your opinions on Tua, positive, negative, in the middle, it's a big year for him. We all know about the chatter that's been going on and kind of clouded the team for the past year or so. But they're all behind Tua for 2021. So it's going to be really important for them to really get into a groove in training camp, get this offense down, get comfortable with the guys around him. I don't want to make too much of offseason workout programs when you're mainly throwing against, air. And especially in the case of the Dolphins, you're throwing against a defense that didn't have its top two cornerbacks and Xavier Howard and Byron Jones taking part in OTAs. But regardless, I thought Tua looked fine. And I think that, as I've said before, I think this is a system that's really going to benefit him in terms of establishing the run, taking some pressure off of him, because there's what you hope is an effective running game, getting him in play action situations where you kind of manipulate the defense, and getting the ball to a lot of talented guys, like we talked about, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Cedric Wilson, Mike Gesicki, even some of the running backs in some cases. As I've said, I'm not really concerned about the deep ball. For me, it's not a matter of if Tua can hit the deep ball. It's a matter of when he's going to hit the deep ball. Because on a small sample size last year, he was one of the more accurate deep ball throwers. But, I mean, in terms of attempts, it ranked at the bottom of the league. So, I am interested to see him connect with some of his, wide receivers and tight ends and skill position players. We saw that in offseason workout programs, but again, it's in the middle of June and May, and it's against air for the most part. So I'm definitely interested to see, especially during like joint practices. Like, of course, preseason, those are live reps, but even in joint practices, they have a pair of those with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm interested to see if this offense is like really gelling and running, and if how Tua looks by the time these joint practices start. I'm sure a lot of eyes, all eyes will be on Tua for the most part over the next month or so, and really over the course of the season. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops. Number two on my list of offensive storylines to watch is the offensive line. Does it come together unlike last year? We all know the debacle that unit was last year, one of the worst units in the NFL in terms of allowing pressures and hurries and hits and whatnot. And the Dolphins went out of their way to improve that offensive line, signing Teron Armstead, signing Connor Williams, and really what I think is one of what potentially could be one of the more underrated kind of moves of the offseason was hiring former Boston College offensive line coach Matt Applebaum. You know, he had a track record at Boston College of developing multiple pros, you know, coaching one of the better offensive line units in college football. And now he's in Miami and he has one of the toughest jobs. I mean, I would say probably behind Mike McDaniel kind of spearheading this entire offense and team. I think Matt Applebaum definitely has probably the toughest job of any incoming coach this year. Armstead didn't really participate in the offseason workout program as he kind of recovers from some injuries that he suffered in his last season with the Saints. But the expectation is that he's going to be out there for the start of training camp. Connor Williams, who mainly played left guard with the Dallas Cowboys, he said that he expects to play center, which is a bit of a transition. He's never played center in an NFL regular season game. He's done a little bit in training camp back when he was with Dallas. But it looks like he's going to move to center. And with that, the expectation is that Robert Hunt stays at right guard. Liam Eichenberg moves to left guard. Austin Jackson moves to right tackle. I've said that, you know, I think that the Dolphins made really strong moves in signing those two vets in Armstead and Williams, but you still have two major question marks. And I would say you possibly have a third question mark with Connor Williams playing at center, a position that he's never played in a meaningful game. I'm curious to see again. I think that all five of those guys in some way or shape or form are going to be the five starters. But you just never know with a new coaching staff. I'm curious to see if there are any wrinkles. You know, last year we saw a lot of tinkering with that offensive line, moving guys back and forth during the summer. I'm curious to see if they do that or if they just kind of say, hey, the five guys that we saw during the offseason workouts, we want to roll with that, let them do trial by fire, see how it goes and go from there. And then also in addition to that, you know, is there a young guy that kind of sneaks up and surprises everyone? Again, I fully expect, barring injury or barring, you know, just a huge change of development, I expect those five guys I talked about before to start, you know, along the offensive line. But there's a number of young guys who have been kind of intriguing over the past couple of years, and maybe they sneak in. A guy like Robert Jones, who was an undrafted rookie, but was able to make the 53-man roster last year. He started at right tackle for Jesse Davis in the final game of the season. Does he potentially, you know, workers maybe sneak his way into the starting lineup or kind of capture one of those top backup roles? Another guy that I'm kind of looking out for is Kellen Deesh, who was another undrafted rookie this year, didn't go selected in the 2022 draft, but he was given the most guarantees out of any Miami Dolphin undrafted free agent. You just got to follow the money. Last year, I believe Robert Jones and Trill Williams were two guys who got a lot of money comparatively and guarantees, you know, to other undrafted free agents. They made the roster. This year, Deesh is one of those guys. You know, he's an older player. He's going to turn 25 before the start of the season. You know, he has kind of a, I don't want to say abnormal, but kind of a unique frame in terms of him being 6'7", but just being very lanky, which, you know, and having, you know, shorter arms, which I think factored into him not getting drafted. But he had tested in terms of offensive linemen. He had one of the best testing at the combine, you know, 40-yard dash, 10-yard split, broad jump, all that. It was among the best at the combine for his position group. And I think that that's a reason that this coaching staff coveted him and kind of sought him out. You know, we know that with this zone running scheme, offensive linemen who can move, get out into the open space and get onto their blocks, those are guys that are going to excel and be coveted in this scheme. So, you know, I don't want to kind of forecast too much, but I think Kellen Deesh is a guy that has a real strong chance to make this roster if he can, you know, get the playbook down. He's been here for rookie minicamp, OTAs. If he can make some strides and impress the coaching staff in the next couple of weeks, I think that there's a strong chance that, you know, he makes this roster. And really, I kind of look back to last year with this unit where the Dolphins had a pair of joint practices with the Bears and the Falcons, and it just didn't go well for that unit. I obviously, as you guys know, I came in the middle of training camp, but I was here for the Atlanta Falcons joint practice, and it was not it was not pretty for that unit. I mean, I got to be honest. I kind of knew that this unit was going to struggle after I saw them kind of get manhandled by an Atlanta Falcons defense that really wasn't all that great last year. So again, I think that along with, you know, the entire unit, the entire offense, we're really going to get a feel for this offensive line when they get those live reps and joint practices against the Buccaneers and the Eagles. So the last storyline that I'm looking out for that I'll be monitoring on the offense side of the ball is what skill position players on the bubble show up. Again, we know guys like Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Cedric Wilson, Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert. Those guys are established. They're locks to make the team. But I think there's a couple interesting roster decisions that will have to be made, particularly at wide receiver, tight end, and potentially running back. So I'll start at running back, where again, it looks like the top three running backs are probably going to be the offseason additions that the Dolphins made this year. So Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, and Sonny Michelle. But if the Dolphins want to keep a fourth running back, I mean, you have some interesting names there. You have Myles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed, Saquandre Wright, Jarrett Doakes. All those guys seem to have been coveted at one point. Gaskin and Ahmed being former undrafted free agents who kind of made names for themselves on the Dolphins. Saquandre Wright being an undrafted rookie this year, and Jarrett Doakes being a late round pick from the previous year. Obviously, out of that group, Gaskin is the most accomplished. But I'd say Ahmed probably has maybe more familiarity with this scheme, as some people don't know, but he had a brief stint with the San Francisco 49ers back in 2020, I believe, when Mike McDaniel was still the run game coordinator. So there is some familiarity there. But I would say Zaquandre Wright is kind of the dark horse. I mean, he had an impressive college career at South Carolina. A lot of people were surprised that he went undrafted. I thought he looked good during offseason workouts. Obviously, again, if you're not tackling guys, you're not really going up against a live defense, so you don't want to take too much stock into it. But if there's any dark horse among that group, I think definitely he could be a guy who maybe sneaks into that fourth and final roster spot. And at the wide receiver and tight end group, you have a lot of really interesting names who I think are on the bubble right now. And there's the potential that a very talented player or a couple of very talented players don't make this 53-man roster. And that just speaks to the talent and depth on this team right now. So I'll start at wide receiver, where really the question is this the last chance for Lynn Bowden Jr. and Preston Williams? Both guys who are, I guess in the case of Williams, who, you know, had a really strong rookie season as an undrafted guy, hasn't been able to recapture that form, was inactive for most of the time last year, but they re-signed him to a one-year deal. So maybe he gets one more shot to kind of show what he can do as a receiver, maybe a returner. And Lynn Bowden Jr. being a guy that the Dolphins traded for. So obviously he still has some supporters. Chris Greer was around when they traded for him. But injuries have just been the name of the game for him. Like he has the talent, he has the skill set, and he has a skill set that I think could really be unlocked in this Mike McDaniel-led offense. But the question is, you know, can he stay healthy? You know, even McDaniel said that when we first talked to him at the beginning of OTAs. He said, hey, he has a very interesting skill set, one that I'm intrigued with. But until he gets on the field, we can't really talk about him. Unfortunately, Bowden, I think he dealt with the hamstring injury last year that landed him on IR. We saw him out at OTAs. He made some plays. So the question now is, can one of those guys stick? Because I think that there's four wide receivers that are locks to make this roster in Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Cedric Wilson, and then the fourth round pick, Eric Ezukama. So the question is, can one of those guys stick? And those two returning guys are going to have to kind of fend off a couple of new additions who have, you know, a history with Mike McDaniel, and that being Trent Sherfield and River Craycraft. Both these guys, like I said, spent time with McDaniel with the 49ers. They didn't have huge receiving numbers. They were more kind of reserve guys, special teams guys. But really, you have to factor them in as strong candidates to make this roster because of that special teams prowess and, you know, their familiarity with this offense. You know, when you get down to the final roster spots, guys who aren't going to be playing a lot of time on offense, but you still need them to be depth pieces, they have to contribute on special teams. And if you look back at Sherfield and Craycraft's history, they have a ton of special teams experience. So it's going to be interesting to see if maybe Sherfield and Craycraft can not only establish themselves on special teams, but make some plays on offense. And maybe that gives them a leg up on guys like Bowden and Williams. And at tight end, I think this is a very interesting group because we know Mike Gesicki and Durham Smythe are going to be the top two tight ends there. The usage of those guys, particularly Gesicki, is going to be interesting because we know that this is an offense that requires tight ends to not only catch the ball but block. And Gesicki, that just isn't a strength of his. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do and how they utilize both those guys. After that, you know, Hunter Long is a guy who I don't think is on the bubble, but I think he's definitely like competing for playing time during training camp. He really didn't do much as a rookie. Maybe with new tight ends coach John Embry, a new scheme, second year in the NFL, maybe things start to click. And then after that, you have, you know, again, a couple of bubble guys where it could go either way depending on the coach's thinkings. You have a guy like Adam Shaheen who started 7 games last year, but he had some knee injuries and his playing time diminished over the course of the year. You have a guy like Seathan Carter who didn't really play on offense, but he was a key special teams contributor. And like I said, when you get down to those final roster spots, special teams is very, very important. So does that give a guy like Seathan Carter a leg up? Or do they say, hey, we want to go with the offensive skill set of Adam Shaheen and make it work with the numbers? Now, that's going to be an interesting question to see. Obviously, training camp, the joint practices, and then especially the preseason games are all going to be very, very important in you know deciding who those final roster spots go out to. So like you all, I'm very interested to see how that develops. We're going to take a short break. When we come back on the other side of things, I'm going to give my roster projection for the Dolphins offense. We know there's some locks, some guys that are definitely going to make the roster, but I might have a couple surprises for you, so stay locked with me. What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins Net Podcast, previewing the offensive side of the ball for the Dolphins ahead of training camp. The start of training camp, which opens next week. Dolphins rookies, as I said, reported Tuesday. Vets are reporting next Tuesday. And we're going to get this thing underway. First half of the pod, we're talking about top storylines that I'll be watching on the offensive side of the ball. And now we're going to get into the roster projection. Like I said, a lot of turnover on this side of the ball, a lot of additions, a new coaching staff. I think it makes for a very, very interesting summer on that side of the ball. But we're going to start with the position group that I don't think there are many questions in terms of the makeup this season. And that's the quarterback position, where I think that Tua Tagovailoa comes in as the unquestioned starter for 2021. And Teddy Bridgewater, they signed as the backup. I think the question with this position group is what happens with seventh round pick Skylar Thompson. He's a player that has knowledge of the West Coast system, but just given the constraints of the roster, I'm not sure he makes it. So the question for me is, does he impress enough in training camp and or I guess preseason when other people can watch him? Does he impress enough to the point where somebody puts in a waiver claim for him if he doesn't make it through the round of roster cuts? I tend to say that's not the case. He clears waivers. They sign him back to the practice squad as kind of a developmental quarterback, and all is good in the quarterback room. Next is running back, where I think that the intrigue really starts. Like I said, I think Edmonds, Mostert, Michelle, all those guys are going to be on this roster, and they're going to have various roles. But with Mostert, who has been recovering from a knee surgery that limited him to just one game, he hasn't participated in OTAs. They haven't given a firm timeline on him, but the plan McDaniel said is to have him ready for week one. If he's ready for week one and he's healthy and he can handle whatever load they need him to, I think there's a chance that the Dolphins go with just three running backs into the season. They keep one or two on the practice squad, but if they do feel compelled to keep a fourth guy, or if Mostert just isn't ready fully 100% healthy, I think that the fourth spot would come down to Miles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed, Saquandre Wright, or Jerick Doakes. And like I said, all those guys kind of have different backgrounds and kind of different ways or different reasons why you could kind of vouch for them for making the final spot. But again, that's kind of the key thing. Like, is Mostert healthy? In June, he tweeted that he was close to 100%. So that'd lend you to believe that he's going to be ready to go for training camp. So that's something to watch out for the running back group. But right now, I think that the likelihood is that they go on with just three backs into the season. Next is wide receiver, where, as I said, it's going to be interesting to see how the battle for those final spots shakes out. Again, I think Hill, Waddle, Wilson, and Ezukama are all locks. But I think they keep six wide receivers on the initial 53-man roster. And then kind of a surprise, I think they go with Sherfield and Craycraft. Again, like I said, I think that special teams ability and the knowledge of the McDaniel offense gives them the edge. Duke Bowden and Preston Williams offer more, Duke Lynn Bowden and Preston Williams offer more on offense, I think most definitely. But when you get to those final spots, it's not so much about offense, but also can you contribute on special teams? And I think that there's established skill position players on that team who are going to be focal points of the offense. I mean, Hill, Waddle, and Wilson, we're going to see a ton of them. We might not see as much of Lynn Bowden or Preston Williams, unless it's maybe in some gadget niche roles. So again, if you're not going to contribute on offense consistently, can you contribute on special teams? Sherfield and Craycraft check off that box. So I'm going to give the edge to those two guys, but it would not surprise me if Lynn Bowden Jr. or Preston Williams or both of them sneak onto this 53-man roster. Next is tight end and fullback, which I will pretty much merge together because I think that in this offense, you're going to see some interchangeability, I guess, with the tight end and fullback position. I got five guys from the tight end fullback group. That's Mike Gesicki, Alec Ingold, Durham Smythe, Hunter Long, and Seathan Carter, which I guess maybe is a surprise there. Gesicki, Smythe, and Long are really no-brainers, as well as Alec Ingold. He's going to be the top fullback. You're going to see a lot of him in this offense, just like we see Kyle Juszczyk with the San Francisco 49ers. But if, again, that final spot is kind of shaky. If the Dolphins decision makers want to go with the final guy, and I'm always going to give the edge to the special teams guy. In a lot of cases that happens. So I think that Seathan Carter kind of gets the edge. I think with Smythe, you kind of have a guy, you know, well, with leaving Shaheen out, my reasoning is you have a guy like Smythe who can do that. I mean, he can block in line. I think he's a better route runner and pass catcher than him. So now you're kind of looking for special teams. And I think Seathan Carter, who played a ton of special teams last year, I think that he gets the edge right there. Next is the offensive line, which gets really interesting. And I'm going to divide it up into the offensive tackles and the interior offensive line. So we're going to start with the offensive tackle position, where I think that the starters are going to be Teron Armstead at left tackle, Austin Jackson at right tackle. And after that, I think it's really up in the air. I think you have an open competition, and anybody could secure those backup spots, whether it's a returning guy or it's one of these undrafted rookies. But in this case, I'm going to give the edge to three guys. I'm going to say Larno Coleman, Robert Jones, and Kellen Deesh secure the three quote-unquote backup reserve spots. This is pure projection right here. I think that definitely Kellen Deesh is a guy who, I said before, kind of has the skill set to really, kind of turn some heads and secure a spot. But outside of that, you know, it's really just projection. Larno Coleman was a former seventh round pick, and Robert Jones was an undrafted free agent who the team, you know, sought. They saw enough in him that they gave him a start in the final game of the season. But again, if Greg Little, Adam Pinky, Keon Smith, and Blaze Andres, another undrafted free agent, if any of those guys or a combination of those guys were to make the final 53-man roster as a backup, it would not surprise me one bit. Because like I said, this is a new coaching staff, and they're going to seek certain things in their offensive linemen that maybe the previous regime did not. So next is, and last, is the interior offensive line. Where I think that it's going to be pretty straightforward, barring maybe one surprise, I have the starters as Liam Eichenberg is at left guard, Carter Williams at center, as we said, and then Robert Hunt at right guard. Again, there could be some changes in terms of where guys start, but the five guys that I mentioned at the top of the pod, I think that those guys are going to be locked in at the end of the summer. And then I'm going to give a fourth and final interior line spot to Michael Dieter, who, as you all know, started eight games at center last year. But by all accounts, it just seems like, I don't know, I'd be surprised if he started, if he was a starter or written in as a starter at the end of training camp. It seems like they're really going to lean into Connor Williams at center and give him every opportunity to really, seize and grasp that role, which is going to be a new position for him. But again, I think Michael Dieter has a lot of value as a versatile option who can play center. He played left guard, or he played guard as a rookie. And he, in a pinch, he can play tackle. It's not what you want to see, but if, you know, situations became dire, he could play tackle in a pinch. So that leaves guys like Solomon Kinley, Cole Banwart on the outside looking in. But again, this is a new offensive coaching staff, new offensive line coach. Maybe they see something in a player that we're just not seeing right now. And over time, one of those guys kind of leapfrogs a guy on the depth chart and sneaks their way on a 53-man roster. But this is how I see the offense side of the ball shaking out at the end of training camp, which, like we said, starts next week. That brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins of Depth podcast. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Next week, we will be back to preview the defense side of the ball ahead of the start of training camp. But until then, definitely, like I said before, subscribe, share, like, comment. If you're watching on YouTube, definitely want to hear what you guys think about my roster projection. And if there's any players you think I'm sleeping on, definitely let me know. But until then, I'll see you guys next week. And you guys take care. See ya.